A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Yevamos Mem Zayin, Yevamos 47a, pagination is 93. We're starting from about midway in the wide lines that are on the bottom of the page. The first word on the line is Itmar, and then we begin. Our topic is conversion to Judaism, as the Gemara presents. Tanu Rabbanan, we learnt. Ger shebo lehiskaya bizman hazeh. If a non-Jew comes to become a convert to Judaism in our time, what is the procedure? So the first thing that we need to appreciate is that Judaism does not claim that a person has to become Jewish in order to be good. We have a concept of Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, the seven Noahide laws, and a non-Jew is bound to keep basic law and order and not to be destructive in this world. But the non-Jew is not called to the higher calling of Shabbos, for example, and Kashrus, etc. So that provided that they observe things like no murder, no stealing, no idol worship, no immoral relationships, they have law and order, and they would be doing what they are supposed to do. And we have no issue with that, and there's no desire to convert people. But if the non-Jew does come to convert in countries that allow it, Omrim lo, we say, Mara Isa, what did you see, Shabbos Lehiskayer, that you want to convert? Iata Yodea, don't you know that the Jewish people in our time are challenged in many ways, and it's not always so simple. Im Omer Yodea Aniyef, he says, I know, Ve'eni Kedai, and I don't feel myself worthy. In other words, I consider this a major step up in my spirituality, in my soul connection. Mekablim oso miyad, we would accept the person into the process. Omodim oso miktas mitzvas kalos o miktas mitzvas chamuros, we give them an idea of how mitzvas work, the simple ones, the more difficult ones. Umodim oso avon leket shikcha upeyo maiser oni, and very interestingly, we're required to inform them about the mitzvahs of the field that a poor person can basically trespass, it would seem, on their field, collecting the different tithes, and that money that they considered their own income actually has to be tithed and given to the poor. Rashi on Amud Beis says that this is a very important one, because we want to make sure that the person who's converting to Judaism can handle that, even though it's a bit intrusive and it requires a giving personality, a person who's willing to appreciate that even if it's his land and even if it's his income, it's not all his. And we have to inform him of the punishment if he violates the mitzvahs. Omrim lo, we tell him, Eva Yodea, we need you to know, Sha'ad shalo bas lamidazu, until you became Jewish, which is what you're considering to do, Achalta chaylev, if you ate non-kosher meat, Yata anosh kares, there was no punishment. Chilalta Shabbos, if you violated Shabbos, Yata anosh skilo, there's no punishment. And now, some of these violations are considered capital violations. They're very serious. And just as you have to tell him the punishments, you also have to tell him matan secharon, the reward. Now, I know that many people have the impression that we discourage geirim. It's not entirely clear that's true. Some of the discouraging is simply because we want to make sure that the person understands what it is they're getting into, and we need to make sure that they have the conviction to carry through, not just in good times, but all the time, because once they make that decision to convert and implement that decision, there's no going back. They are, in fact, Jewish, and if things don't work out for them the way they planned, then that act of conversion still remains. So for their benefit and for the Jewish community's benefit, we want to make sure that they're really in. On the top of Amud Beis, ve'emar b'malav, but we don't unduly increase things, ve'en medaktik imalav, and we don't go through it to harp just to be difficult. We're trying to clarify if the person indeed is convinced for the right reasons that they want to and they're able to go through with this decision. Kibel, if the person agrees, they really want, molino so miyad, you could do mila right away, and nisrape, once they're healed from the mila, matpilimo so miyad, then you could do the tevila, because a man requires both mila and tevila, the circumcision and the immersing in a mikvah. Now, in our time, many of the gerim have already had circumcision, which is a fairly common practice in the United States. Indeed, someone coming from the former Soviet Union, it's a different social culture, and indeed, there's the concept of true circumcision in that case, and there's a whole discussion and expertise of how to do it in proper way. But we do have a concept, even if circumcision was already done, of hatofas dam bris, of making basically a scratch in the place of circumcision so that a drop of blood, enough that they touch with a gauze or a tissue or something, they touch with something white just to see that indeed drop of blood has come out, and that would be a fairly universal normative way of going about this requirement of circumcision. All of this obviously done not just by any moel, but there's a special expertise of dealing in the case of gerim with these types of cases. Now, in terms of the mikvah, and this is going to affect women's gerus as well, because the immersing in the mikvah is what's critical to create and finalize the conversion. Shnei tamidei chachamim omdim al gabov. We have to have the bezdin standing over there. Rabbi Yochanan says that the shnei tamidei chachamim is really supposed to be shlosha, and that's amended towards the bottom of the page on our daf. These three Tamidei Chachamim, Torah scholars, comprising the Bezdin, inform the convert of the basic mitzvahs at the time of mikvah. Taval v'ola, and when the person does the tevila and comes out, Harei ku Yisrael l'chol devarav, he is fully Jewish, and it's binding. Now, the Gemara continues with the sophisticated case of what happens if a woman is the one who's converting. So, obviously, there's no circumcision, but there is tevila, and that becomes delicate. How do you have the three dayanim witness the immersing of the woman in the mikvah? Because immersing, by definition, means without clothes, so that there's nothing separating between the skin and the water. So let's see first how the Gemara presents it. At the beginning of the line, Isha, dealing with a woman, Noshim Moshivos Osa Bemayim Ad Tzavora. Women help her, Moshivos, they help her, they set her up in the water, until her neck. In other words, the same amount of the body that has to be covered for regular tznius. So that amount has to be totally inside the water so that it's covered. The Mefarshim point out that in their time, the water of a mikveh was naturally dirty. It was, I don't know if the word is dirty, but it had normal discoloration to the point that you wouldn't be able to see into the water. It was considered opaque. And as long as the women helped her in and got her settled, so when the Beis Din comes to see, all they see is her face because the water goes all the way up to her neck. And again, you have three Talmide Chachamim standing outside the mikvah, and they review the halachas with her, and then she does her tevila, and it's binding. The question in our time, because our mikvahs, Baruch Hashem, are so pristinely clean, how do you get a Beis Din into that room to witness the tevila in a tzniyistic, acceptable way? And there are basically two approaches. One is presented by Rabbi Avadya Yosef in Yabia Omer, and one is presented in the Minchas Yitzchak. Yabia Omer says that the common practice is to have a sheet spread out over the mikvah in such a way that there's only a head hole, a place for the woman to stick her head out. And once she's settled, the Beis Din comes in, sees her face, IDs it, they recognize her, they know who it is that's doing the tevila, and then she dunks, and they just see that the entire head is immersed, and then they leave, and everything before and everything after is handled by the mikvah lady. The Minchas Yitzchak writes that a theoretical solution, which is not widely accepted, but exists at least in theory, is we could have a very loose-fitting, light type of robe of some sort constructed, and perhaps maybe these two methods together would be necessary under certain circumstances if people were very self-conscious. But the concept is that if there's a very loose-fitting robe, then the water totally gets in all areas, and it could be adjusted to make sure that water got in all areas. And then once she's in the mikvah with this sheet covering everything except for her head that peeks out, we would have a scenario that parallels the entire tznius, which was expected. Reb Moshe Feinstein observes that although the men going into the mikveh and witnessing a woman bathing in any form, even with just wet hair, is normally inappropriate, Reb Moshe sees in that apparently the Gemara sees it as totally compelling that in order to effectuate halachic conversion, that the Beis Din has to actually see the tevila. And Reb Moshe says, you see from this that they can't just know about it. They can't just be in the next room. Because if they were able to be in the next room and still be effective, they certainly would do that. Because he sees it totally as something that they would shy away from. But we see that the Gemara requires it, and therefore we would go about doing it in the most proper setup that can be achieved. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.